Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's a big week when RHAP is on the road in Chicago. Check out my live show from Chicago. That's going to be up on Thursday, Wednesday night. Shannon Gus is going to be live with you with Kelly Wentworth after Survivor. And we preview the Dondi finale with Deal or No Deal Island host Joe Manganiello, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here for another batch of preseason interviews here for Survivor 46. Can you believe it? And so we are about to begin a very fun exercise that we are about to do in 9 parts with a man who has gone and returned from Fiji. Here he is. Give it up for Mike Bloom.
Some have said I've never left Fiji. I still think back to those picturesque days back in late May 2023. So much possibility ahead of us, including talking with all of these really interesting players a day or two before they end up starting the greatest game on earth. Yeah.
Okay, Mike Bloom went to Fiji, recorded interviews with these contestants in person. You can catch the videos of each of these interviews on our YouTube channel. Go to robhasawebsite.com/YouTube for that. They will be posted one by one. But here today, we are going to hear the interviews from two of the contestants. That's going to be Banu and Dave, aka Jelinski, here. And then Mike and I will weigh in with some reactions to those, but we'll play the interviews for you in their entirety and then come back to talk about them. Mike, how exciting is this?
I mean, I'm very excited. I was very excited when I got the chance to talk with this cast. Maybe it was just the beach breezes of Fiji that were blowing into my fun jungle canopy covered office that I took up in Fiji over the course of a 2-day period. But I really enjoy getting to talk with these people. It's a very unique group, as Jeff Probst told Dalton Ross at the end of season 45 to preview season 46. And I'm excited for people to get to meet them as well and get to see exactly what could play out over the course of 26 days. There's a lot of variables, I think, at play with this particular cast. And even looking at this not so gruesome twosome that we're talking about, like these two guys, we'll talk about it at the end, could be best friends or worst enemies at the end of this.
Okay. Well, we are going to listen to these two interviews here today. This is going to be a 9-part series. We're going to be dropping these daily for you. And so be on the lookout for these next 9 parts where we drop them 2 by 2 here, kind of like Mike Bloom's arc as we get you ready here for Survivor 46. Make sure you subscribe. Yes. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss them all. Go to robhasawebsite.com/subscribe. Okay, Mike, anything you want to set up before we start to talk about our first person that we're going to meet here today, Banu?
Yeah, you talk about Mike Bloom's arc. Let me throw a veritable flood of disclaimers at you right now. So, yes, I did indeed go to Fiji. These interviews were done in person on the islands of Survivor 46. I had a nice little jungle office set up by CBS, and these contestants were brought to me one at a time, 1 to 2 days before the season started, to get their general thoughts. A few things I want to put out there. I had the honor and Jervis of not only getting to interview these contestants out on the island, but also getting to witness the first 3 days of the season. I saw essentially what is going to happen in the premiere. And I can understand from a certain perspective, you might view what I'm about to say. You'll be like, oh, this guy's spoiled. He's totally trying to put the thumb on the scale. In between each person, I recorded my own sort of commentary just as like a running tracker of how I thought each person would do based on their bios, based on the conversations that I had with them, incorporated a bit as well with once I found out what the tribes were, a little bit of feedback there. I have pulled a lot of my speculation from that. So if you are worried that I'm going to give anything away as to what happens in the premiere, do not tarry. My usually incorrect opinions solely exist within that period where I'm as much in the know as you all.
Mike is a journalist of the highest regard, and he's not.
No, Ricard was on 5 seasons ago.
Yes. He's not going to throw it all away so that he can win the Survivor pool.
No, I know a lot of people put their stocks in their drafts. I am not one of them personally. Something else that I should mention is that as
Although Liana should watch out in terms of the preseason predictions.
Yes, absolutely. Although I think I might need to more so put my category, my horse in AI there and just let them determine it so that I am not seen as sort of an unfair, biased perspective there. Another thing is that there were, as Austin's story indicated, 2 alternates that were on site there. Yep. So if throughout these interviews you hear mention of 20 people, and especially because for the 2nd season in a row, I asked the castaways about vibes they are picking up from specific people in preseason Ponderosa, they will sometimes make mentions of people who will not be on the season. So just know that ahead of time. You, Rob, and others may ask, like, when these people are referring to certain visual descriptions, oh, to whom is that referring? Sometimes that may be to someone who ultimately did not end up on the final cast.
Okay. All right. So, all right. I guess when we come back, maybe you can let us know if you think they're talking about somebody who wasn't there.
Yeah, you'll get that in, I think, both of our interviews.
Do you interview
today.
The alternate?
I did. I interviewed both alternates out there as well. I interviewed. What's interesting
is, file it away for a future preseason.
Honestly, yeah. So when I interviewed for 45, it was really interesting because I only did 19 interviews and there was an alternate. And I thought, like, huh, it's a little weird that they only had 1 alternate out there and it was a woman. Like, what happened to the male alternate? Or where they just have started with unequal genders? And it turns out that, no, I did talk to the male alternate. He was just part of the cast when I talked to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, Mike, what else do we need to know before we talk about Manu?
Yeah. So a couple other things we'll pull, obviously, from the video. We might pull on some bio adjacent stuff, I would say, some personal information that was sent to me prior to the interview. Also, just due to birthdays that have passed between the interview and the time we're currently talking, there may be discrepancy with some contestants between the age that they give in the interviews and the age that they are during the cast release. And on the rare occasion, Survivor's done this really interesting marketing strategy where they have been dropping parts of these castaways' audition videos, which is an interesting tactic. I don't know if it's like, okay, we want to encourage more people to apply. I don't know if it's like, well, our group is super quirky and let's look at all the quirky ways they applied for the show. I mean, Rob, if you were a contestant I mean, let's just say, let's rewind back to 2003. Like, if as part of the guerrilla marketing for Survivor the Amazon, they released your audition video, would you feel a certain way about it?
Yeah, because I didn't really have a Survivor audition video.
All right.
Audition video that was about being on Big Brother. And then I just like whipped something together that was just like wacky.
Yeah. So, I mean, nowadays, I feel like even if that were the strategy, they would still say like, hey, throw something together. And maybe we will get some wacky circumstances from these videos. But we'll try to reference that as well. They've been released kind of habitually on the Survivor Instagram page. So we'll try to bring in a little bit of everything we know about this person so that this could hopefully be your like end all be all of everything you need to know about this person before they end up becoming a player.
Okay. Mike, before we throw it to Banu, what would you want to set up about Banu specifically?
So Banu Gopal, he is 41 years old. He is from Acton,
Massachusetts.
Yeah, looks great for 41, even though he will lie about his age almost immediately to me. Though we'll talk about maybe his hesitancy to lie in other regards soon. He's currently situated in Acton, Massachusetts, but spent a lot of his life, most of his life, in fact, in India, something we'll talk about a lot in our interview. And he is an IT quality analyst, but this guy is far from white collar IMO.
Okay. All right. So we're going to allow you to hear Banu's interview with Mike in its entirety. And then rather than breaking in and interrupting, we're going to let you listen to the whole thing. Then Mike and I are going to come back on the other side and we'll give our thoughts about how we think Banu is going to do. Here is Banu.
Manifestation, right?
Yeah.
So I guess to start, let's have you, just for audio purposes, give me your name, your age, and your occupation.
My name is Banu. I'm 30 plus something. I'm not disclosing my age. and I'm a data analyst, IT analyst. What am I saying? I'm fumbling.
Yeah, no, that's totally
fine. Your beauty is mesmerizing.
Please, now I know you're good at lying.
Hey.
So how long have you been working in IT and data analysis for?
I've been working as an IT analyst since 2012.
Oh, wow. Over a decade.
Yeah.
Is that a career you've always wanted to be a part of? Or?
Actually, I always wanted to be in human resource management because I have my postgraduate in human resource management. However, I didn't get a job in the HR, so I took the IT job.
Yeah, whatever the acronyms may be, you're going to find yourself there. What was it about HR? Was it that people aspect?
Yeah, I'm very people person. I love connecting with people. I love talking to people, all of that. So something, anything to do with the human resources, I just love it. And that's why I have my post-graduation in human resource management.
Well, listen, you're going to get into a very different form of human resource management here in the course of Survivor. So what brings you out here now? What made you decide that this was going to be your next big experience?
I think for the longest time I was looking for a platform. A platform because as a queer man, a South Asian, I wanted to let folks who look like me and who came from humble beginnings like me, because I grew up in poverty with nothing. And for most part of my life, the Survivor has been my life. Like living under the thatched roof when it's raining, rain used to fall in, you know, it used to, you know, just fall on us.
Yeah.
Inside the house. So it's been like that. When I watched Survivor for the first time, I was like, oh my God, that's hit me close to home.
Yeah.
So it's like I instantly connected. The first episode I've seen was Survivor Kagyan, and Spencer was my hero. And he's the one I fell in love with the show and started watching episode after episode and season after season. And here I am, super fan of Survivor and, you know, they're talking to you.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about, you know, that previous environment, because you came from India, right?
Yes. I grew up in India for 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what prompted the move?
So in 2013, I got a job offer in the US and I came here on a work permit for 6 years.
Wow.
At the very end of my work permit, so my work permit was up to 2018, end of 2018. But in 2017, I met my partner, now my husband, And a year later, we got married.
Wow. Love comes quickly, you know? And how does he feel about this whole experience? Is he a fan of Survivor as well?
So let me tell you, I have no clue about Survivor. My husband, George, is a super fan of Survivor.
Really?
Super, super, super fan. He's the one who introduced me to Survivor. And the first episode, first season we watched was Survivor Kageon.
Yes.
What a phenomenal season.
Yeah.
And watching the players and everything, that's when I thought, oh my God, this is so... It's like this is like what my life used to be, like 20 years ago.
Right.
And everything, you know, just like, you know, right in front of me. And that, and yeah, so my husband George introduced me to Survivor, and he's my support, my strength, a pillar, and all of whatever you have to call him. He's all that. And with his support, with his encouragement, I've applied and I'm here today.
That's so incredible. So now looking back on all the Survivor that you've, you know, become so in love with, give me one winner and one non-winner that you identify with the most.
Spencer. I identify with Spencer because if you watch Survivor Kageon, the way he was beaten to his core, but every time Spencer got up, and he kept going and going and going until he was, you know, until the final tribal council.
Yeah.
He didn't win. I, you know, my heart was like with him. I was crying for Spencer and I want Spencer to win. So one, he's already a winner in my eyes. And the other person who really played a gate game, in my opinion, was Winners at War, Tyson.
Ooh.
The king of Survivor. King. Tyson is the king. I look up to him. Amazing player.
Interesting.
I didn't like Tyson the first time he played. He played a badass game. However, he was a villain.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, why do you have to be such a villainous person in order to win? The second time he came, he was a goofball and he got voted out very quickly. The third time he came, the reason why I fell in love with Tyson the third time is because he showed true emotion, the human emotions. He made people laugh. He cried. He told stories. He connected with everyone on the team. And that's why Tyson is a real winner of Winners at War.
The real, I like that. I think he'd be very happy to say he's the real winner of Winners at War as well.
Right.
So when it comes to perceptions, how do you think people are going to look at you out here?
So the first thing people, when they look at me, they think that, oh my God, he's 5'11", he looks all muscular, and they think that I'm a very strong guy, and maybe a lot of people would think that, oh, we should vote him out.
Yeah.
So that's a perception I just want to, like, you know, navigate through.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how much I should be disclosing about my medical history here.
Whatever you'd like to do, yeah.
You know, I've dislocated my right shoulder 10 times. And I had recently undergone a shoulder surgery to be on Survivor because that's how much I love Survivor.
Just don't climb on some rocks and I think you'll be okay. We've learned that from
Absolutely.
Recent experience.
Absolutely, yes.
That's so interesting. So then when it comes to finding an alliance partner, to finding a ride or die if you want one, are you eyeballing certain things about people, certain qualities?
Yes. One major thing I'm eyeballing is this person is not giving me the looks, and I, you know, he's not saying, like, you know, oh yeah, we there's a potential alliance. I'm also making sure that this person is not doing the same with all the rest of the 18 people.
Interesting.
And I know one person is actually doing it, and I want him to get out.
Tell me about, describe this person to me.
So this person, he's got a beard, black beard, and all of, you know, that's his main, you know, character, like a big black beard. So the first time when we were sitting, you know, he looked at me and he gave me that nod, and I was like, okay, I just smiled. And instantly he was looking at another person, he's giving them the eye and nod. Third person, he was giving, like, a, you know, like the victory symbol. The fourth person, he's just like doing some kind of a gesture. I've seen him do this to all the remaining 18 players.
Huh. So clearly, you're not special.
So clearly, I felt betrayed.
Yeah.
And I want him to be voted out as soon as possible because he's playing with everyone and we don't want people like that.
Right. You want exclusivity. You want monogamous relationships on Survivor.
Just like me.
Well, when it comes to good vibes, are you picking up on that with any particular people here?
Not yet. Everyone seems to be pretty studious. Everyone's into deep, deep thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Particularly this group, season 46, everyone's so young. I feel like maybe high school to just, you know, they're still in undergrads. 18 to maybe 22,
yeah.
If my guess is right. And everyone's deep thinker. They're all like, oh, this generation kids, I'm telling you, super smart. They're going to outwit, outplay, outlast.
What do you think is one life experience that has prepared you for whatever you're about to experience?
The one major life experience of mine is for 18 years, I've endured a lot of physical trauma. I would say, like, there's a lot of trauma, emotional, physical. I don't want to get into other traumas, but all of that, the way I endured it, it makes me strong because that's my core. That's my foundation. My foundation itself is like solid because I've endured so many abuses. And also with nature, as I said, like, you know, I grew up in under a thatched roof. When it was raining, it poured inside the house. There is no way to hide. So almost like survivor-esque. So I would say, you know, all of that, to endure all of that and the strength I gathered, the lack of food, you know, and I'm a survivor.
Yeah, in every sense of the word. What is your biggest superpower in life that would probably bring you into this game?
My biggest superpower is reading people.
Mm.
I'm very good at reading people. As long as I can get the eye contact. Once I get the eye contact right, and once I start speaking to them, I can pick on subtle things. Because I connect with human emotions, I grew up on streets, and I picked up as a kid, when someone's, you know, not nice to you and, you know, all of that, the sneaky stuff, I can pick it up.
So then, on the other hand, what's your kryptonite?
Whoa. My kryptonite would be, as I said, like, you know, knowing people's emotions.
Mm.
And know when to play with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be a tough experience, right? Because you do seem like, even just from like what I'm gleaning with you, such an empath, such like a warm soul. It's an amazing game to play, but at the same time, we have seen time and time again how difficult it is to like get to know people and then crush their hearts and crush their dreams.
Yes, it is very, very tough. And I didn't grow up we never grew up crushing people's hearts because we all grew up on streets. We were always helping each other because if someone's not helping you and you're not helping someone else, so it's like we're all like in it together. So we're helping each other and we've survived like that. So backstabbing doesn't come naturally to me.
Mm.
Yeah, it really hurts me. But this is a game I need to keep in mind and I have to just play.
Yeah. Let's talk about advantages for a second. I'm going to give you a scenario. Let's say it's like day two, day three, a boat shows up at your tribe. Of course, a guy steps out. You know what's happening. Pick one person to go on a journey. Are you trying to step up there? Are you trying to get someone else to go? Instead, what's your strategy there?
Pick rocks.
Now, are we picking rocks or are we picking rocks, you know, Lauren
I would say
style?
In codes, yeah. Picking rocks. I mean, I don't mind if people say that, oh, Banu, you can, you know, you want to go? But I don't want to be the person like, you know, hey, guys, I want to go because we've seen so many. See, I'm a super fan of Survivor. Why do I want to put target on myself? No. I'm not doing that. I'm not a fool.
Well, when it comes to outside of the journey, advantages, we've seen them be blessings and curses in the new era. How hungry are you for them? Are they something you want to actively search out throughout the game?
One thing I always say, even you, even my casting interviews have said that, Jeff Probst, he's been my guru. And as my guru coded, there's only one winner.
Right.
Most of us are going home or are on the jury. I want to play the game. I just whatever falls in my lap, I just want to take it and I just want to go with it. I want to ride the tide. That's my strategy.
Well, talk to me about this Jeff as a guru thing. Was this something that came with your love of Survivor? Was there like a particular thing personally that you felt with him?
So there's an analogy behind this. In Indian literature...
In true Jeff fashion.
in Indian literature, there is a story behind a young kid who is not from a certain caste system, because India is divided in caste systems.
Right.
He's not from a different caste system. So the teacher who actually used to teach archery did not teach him because he's not of the same caste. He was teaching to all the other kids who's from the same caste or from the upper caste. So what this kid did, he loved this guru so much because he's the number one guru. So what he did was, because the guru he's not taking him, he used to hide in a corner and listen and see what the guru is teaching the other disciples. And guess what this kid did? He became the number one archer just by seeing and listening and practicing what his guru said from a distance.
Wow.
Not being taught by the guru directly. For me, Jeff is that guru.
Wow.
I never met Jeff in real life. He doesn't know me. But watching Survivor, the way he talks to people, the way he inspires people, the way he says, like, dig deep, don't give up, all of those things. When I was going through tough times, I was watching Survivor. And when Jeff says all of this, those inspired me. They were, when I was in my lows and lows, when I was having, dislocations, I was giving up on my physical fitness and all of that. Jeff Probst, don't give up, dig deep. Those are the words inspired me. And I started working out. And here I am today in Fiji playing Survivor.
That is unbelievable. That is so incredible. Does Jeff know all this?
I don't think so. Jeff knows about this.
I mean, he's going to find out real soon. That is amazing. I want to go to something you wrote in your bio here. You said you are an expressive social media presence, but you are an introvert at heart. Talk to me about that balance of what seems to be two very different social sides of you.
Right. So I learned Indian classical dance from my mom, who is an Indian classical dance teacher. My mom is my guru in real sense, because she's the one who taught me how to dance. So I learned from her. However, I'm very shy person. I love to dance. Because that's in my blood.
Mm-hmm.
My mom said that I was born the night when she was actually showing a dance movement, like a rigorous dance movement to her students. I was born the same night. After she finished the class, she went home and I was born. So my mom always jokingly says that you came dancing out of my womb, which could be true. So I love dancing. I love the moment that a song plays, my body can stay in its place. Having said that, I just enjoy my, it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have to perform, that's when my introvert kind of, comes out.
Let's talk about your decision making. When you typically have to make an important decision in your life, are you someone to like think through a bunch of steps in your head, or are you someone that more so goes with your gut?
That's my problem. See, the problem with living on the streets, and we go with our hearts.
Yeah.
I don't think. Yeah, I just say it. And that's a problem with me, that I can't lie. And sometimes I just say so many things which hurt my family. And that's one thing which scares me. I don't want to hurt my mom. And I don't want to say something which would get telecast and shows I don't know. You know, us in a bad light, especially a lot of folks would be watching it. And I know truth matters, but how it will be shown also matters. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm scared about.
What would be your hottest Survivor take? What do you think is one of these controversial opinions of yours on a player, a season, the show in general?
I just need I want the question to be said in a different way. I think I'm not following.
Sure. Have you heard of a hot take before, like a controversial opinion?
Oh, controversial opinion.
Yeah.
About a show?
About, it could be about the season, could be about a player, like so-and-so was robbed, I don't like this season, Final Four Fire Making can go, those types of things.
So I'm listening to On Fire with Jeff Probst, and I just love it. I can't tell you how much I love Jeff. Jeff, if you're listening. but Jeff kind of answers all the questions so well. And there is a segment in the show called This Is Why You Suck.
Right.
And Jeff answers all of that. I had a lot of questions like, you know, why certain things are happening. But I think at this moment, I would rest my my questions, because Jeff answered most of them.
To finish things off, give me a celebrity or a fictional character that you would want to bring out for a loved one's visit. Who's coming out to see you?
Oh, who's coming out to see me? If there is a loved one's visit, then definitely it's going to be my husband, George.
Right. But let's say instead you can pick a celebrity or you can pick a completely fictional character.
So this is a kind of like a sad thing. Growing up, the one thing which gave me strength was watching my favorite actor's movies, who's no longer there. She died at the age of 52.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman, she acted in 300 movies. 300
oh
movies. And she was the number one actress in every regional language she did. 300 movies. And this one, she started as a child star,
mm-hmm.
then graduated into, a full grown actress. When she was a child star, she was the people she was acting as, like, you know, maybe she was acting as a granddaughter to that guy. Later, she became the heroine of the same guy. That's how this woman is, and she inspires me. And guess what? She didn't even go to school, but she can speak fluently 7 languages.
Wow.
And she's number one in Bollywood. That's my inspiration. And she made me laugh, cry, dance, all of that. Her name is Sri Devi. I love you, Sri. Wherever you are, may your soul rest in peace.
I'm going to start diving into the 300-plus movie backlog. Wow, that is incredible.
She's incredible. Gorgeous woman. And, gorgeous, gorgeous woman.
Well, how are you feeling right now? You know, you're sitting at a time where there is so much potential ahead of you. What's sort of the mixture of emotions that you're feeling before things finally open up in a matter of time?
As I said, I am bent, meaning beyond excited, nervous, and thrilled. And I can't wait to play the game.
You are such an incredible soul. I'm getting such a vibe from you already. From where you've been able to come from to, like, the warmth that you bring to everything, it's so palpable to me that I hope it will be out there as well. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you. Thanks to you. And thanks to everyone who's listening. And I only wish your good wishes and your prayers so that I can pray, I can do well in this game, and maybe be the sole survivor of season 46. Thank you.
Not a maybe, a will. We're putting it out.
Will.
All right, Mike. Great job.
Thank you.
That was great.
I really appreciate that. I had such a fun time out there. And this was something, you know, a little experimental. I really have to give so much kudos to you, Rob, to Josh as well, who obviously had tread those footprints in the sand many times as to do interviews out there on the island. We tried something new for the first time. We did video interviews out there.
Yeah, I did interviews. I got interviewed on the island.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you got to sit in both chairs there on the
And we did some crash courses on Zoom of how to work the camera.
Yes, exactly. But it went well. It went well. I really enjoyed my time getting to sit there, and hopefully everyone enjoys the videos as well. I really liked getting to do the back and forth with people too. You get a really nice sense of energy, I think. And really, there's a lot of joviality to this cast, a lot of kind of silliness and goofiness. And I think Banu's a great representation of that.
Okay. All right, Mike, I am pretty bent on Banu.
You're going to get bent?
I'm going to get bent. I am beyond excited, but I am very nervous, and I'm also thrilled for him.
That really is, I think, a fantastic representation of Banu's entire dynamic. I mean, this guy, again, you talk about energy. He had some of the most energy I've gotten out of this very energetic cast. I mean, maybe it's the fact that he was consistently leaning forward, projecting into that microphone at his fantastic volume, but I mean, even just the excitement from the name Spencer Bledsoe, if he brings even a third of that to the game of Survivor.
I have some news for Banu.
Well, hopefully he doesn't, you know, blow his load in a manner of speaking when it comes to talking about Spencer, and that he can actually save that for the island as well. But it's clear that what's really interesting is, yes, Banu has, again, a lot of this energy to it, but he is self-admittedly not only a new Survivor fan, but he's one of a couple of players that are like, no, actually, my partner's the really big Survivor fan. I came into it via them, but I'm still excited to be here.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's necessarily like the recipe for success. Like, I don't think that you necessarily like look at D, like, you know, not necessarily like the biggest Survivor super fan ever. But like when it's like, oh, this is my partner's thing. I know that Banu is into it now, but I'm reminded of like Ryan in season 43, that it was another person where it was like, oh, well, this is like I forget if it was girlfriend or fiance's favorite show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it could go both ways where it's like, okay, this person is more so, you know, dyed in the wool, super duper fan, and I like the show, and whether that translates to knowledge. But there's also something where certainly in my life, Rob, I am a dyed in the wool super fan, but I've encountered people that are like, you are much better at this game than I am. You know, I may have the brains, but you more so have the actual soul of what it takes to be the sole survivor. And so maybe that's the perfect package for Banu, that his husband, George, can fill him in on like everything he needs to know about the show, which again, he's not like completely inept. He came in during Cagayan and like has been watching since. But at the same time, he has maybe some of those more personal skills, certainly a background and a history to bring to the island and feel like, okay, I think out of the two in this household, I'll be the one to bring it home. It's almost like doing a roadblock in Amazing Race.
So I feel like that for Banu, in terms of his background, I feel like he definitely will have the survivalist mentality down. In that way, he kind of reminds me of a Nasir who is coming into this and is like, what, like, oh, like this is hard, like that. Like I grew up in an environment that would be, you know, equally as challenging as this. So the environment is not going to throw him for a loop. And then hopefully, you know, he is also like invaluable to his tribe because of that.
Yeah, I definitely think we might get a This Is Banu moment, that obviously, like, he doesn't come from a tropical climate necessarily, perhaps in the way Nasir did. But at the same time, as Banu expressed multiple times, he came from very arduous circumstances. He referenced numerous times the idea of sleeping under a thatched roof. And hopefully, if you get a shelter done right, that's what you're doing in the first couple of days of Survivor. And I think even just that mentality of growing up through poverty, where not poverty, where you don't know exactly when's the next time you'll eat, or just trying to make ends meet. Strategy and social element aside, I feel like that is so critical to just the day-to-day of Survivor. And so I think especially early on, where these people are going to have reality hit them like a ton of bricks, Banu might be the more accustomed to it. Ironically enough, it might be where other people thrive that he might not survive.
Mm-hmm. Now, for me, my concern with Banu comes when he talks about, and maybe this could be a strength or a weakness for him, is that, and you talked about it with him, just like his big heart and his empathy. And I do feel like that while you can use that successfully in Survivor, I'm wondering if he's going to be able to, you know, turn that corner when it's time and do some of the, you know, cutthroat maneuvering that he might ultimately need to do to win this thing.
I completely agree. So just to, again, read his answer verbatim to when he talks about how his biggest kryptonite is knowing people's emotions and knowing when to play with them. He says it's very, very tough. And we never grew up crushing people's hearts because we all grew up on streets. We were always helping each other because if someone's not helping you, you're not helping someone else. We're all in it together. So we're helping each other and we survived like that. So backstabbing doesn't come naturally to me. It really hurts me. But this is a game I need to keep in mind and just have to play. Easier said than done. I think coming naturally is going to be difficult for Banu. I think the survival aspect will become very naturally to him. But I think the other edge of that sword is like growing up on the streets. Yeah, there is this communal aspect to it. It's like we've all got to look out for each other. If we don't live together, we're going to die alone, perhaps. And where he might get lost is, okay, what if he does make a really nice bond with these people in his original tribe and he gets to the end of the game, a la the Rebas? Does he want to cut people immediately? Or is he more so going to be like, I have just made such concrete bonds with these people for 20 plus days. I would not be able to be a good person if I did that. He said in another answer of mine, right, that he like wanted to make sure that he wasn't defaming his family or his community at all. And so he, I think also having that in mind can be incredibly impactful. We certainly have seen that with a lot of people that have brought their own representation to the show, that additional element of like, I have to make sure I play this right. Cause the last thing I want is for the egg people in the comments to be like, oh, does this mean all Indians are deceitful? Or for like something to come back onto his mother, who obviously has gone through a lot in order to raise him. I wouldn't completely write it off. Though, I mean, let's look at our most recent Soul Survivor. When I talked with Dee in the preseason of 45, she was someone who also said like, yeah, I think I'm going to have a really tough time cutting people. And I flagged that as like, okay.
She didn't.
And that's the thing. Yeah. I think when push comes to shove, like if you eventually get to a point in the game where you're like, oh, I have a genuine chance at $1 million if I make this move, then you're going to be able to do it. So I wonder if Banu does get to that point at the end, if it's another Jesse Cody situation, perhaps, which we did ask a lot about in this preseason, then he could be somebody that's like, my instincts of having to do anything to last another day in this game overweigh my large heart of, oh, but I want to keep them around because they're a good person.
Yeah, I got from Banu that he is very much like this experience is super important to him. He talks about how like the impact that even Jeff Probst had on him.
And he's his guru, Rob.
He's his guru. So I feel like that, you know, he's here for this experience, but like, I just don't know if he's necessarily going to be the person who's going to get the win here. So I'm not super high on Banu as a winner, as a person, incredible guy.
Do we need a sequel to The Love Guru called The Survivor Guru with Jeff Probst?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think that, okay. I think it'd be more of a reboot.
Mm-hmm. Reba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, listen, if there's any franchise that needs a bit of a start over, it might be The Love Guru. That surprised me. But I loved also the story he told to like actually pull upon historical significance about Jeff Probst being his guru. But that is also, I think, Banu distilled in a nutshell that like what he really takes away from Survivor. He talks about, you know, Tyson being one of his favorite non-winners, but he only liked Tyson when like Tyson came back and cried when Rachel got eliminated from Redemption Island. Mm-hmm. Banu is somebody who I think genuinely gets hooked in by the emotional aspects of Survivor.
Yeah, which you asked him, or he said in his bio, what Survivor would you play the game most like? And he said Cochran, which I did not see at all.
Maybe it was just this like the Spencer, kind of like the underdog story of like Cochran is this guy who felt like a fish out of water, but then eventually was able to not only learn to swim, but swim upstream and then eventually become the big fish in the small pond. It's an odd comparison considering that like how much to the bat he went for Spencer. I am not surprised this I am surprised this man's name was not mentioned in his bio whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Anything else on Banu?
Well, Rob, we got to address the physical elephant in the room. Indian pun notwithstanding. Banu has had some shoulder problems.
Yes.
Dislocated, what do you say, 10 times? Hmm. And he recently got surgery on his shoulder, specifically for Survivor. Now, at the time we played, you will certainly get this sense from my interviews. This was days after the finale of season 44. So there's going to be a lot of reference to Survivor 44. Obviously, top of mind was the adventure of Matthew there. Now, I don't think that Banu is going to climb any rocks anytime soon, but I do wonder, especially when malnutrition comes into play, is there a chance that Banu aggravates something that has been aggravated many times before?
I do think that there certainly is a chance, and he does seem like, you know, the type of like survivalist player that may be like, hey, that breadfruit's up there, if I could just reach it. And so I think that there is certainly a possibility, but, you know, I don't think it's that one, if he does have any sort of like an issue, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to get pulled. Like, I mean, that accident that Matthew had was pretty gnarly and kind of unique. You know, we saw, I'm sure you vividly remember, you know, Stephanie LaGrossa getting her shoulder popped back into a socket. So I think you could play through that type of injury, like should it come up, but something to monitor for sure.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know if he'd aggravate it to that certain extent, like you said, but
Daniel
luckily
Strunk.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is like you could say on paper, OK, we're not doing the physical wrestling challenges that allowed Stephanie LaGrosse's shoulder to pop out. But you mentioned Daniel Strunk. One tumble on the sand could be something to have, you know, his arm in a sling. And maybe that's another reason why he liked Tyson so much in Blood versus Water.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, to go back to your point, prognosticating Banu, I think Banu would place fifth at the highest. I'm getting a lot of vibes from Banu that I don't see a real reason to get rid of him early on unless he does aggravate his shoulder, in which case you're like, okay, he's not exactly that much of a physical asset. But I think between his physicality, he talks about his stature, and the fact that, again, I think he is more adept to the elements than others, he'll become invaluable early on and not really seen as threatening. Like, he's someone who can go along to get along. It seems like someone you would just want to, like, naturally have a good time with. I think when you get to that mid-merge, it could become something where he's looked at as way too likable. And even if you take him into that finale, into those final few days, nobody's letting that guy get to fire.
Right. Seems like a really like pure soul. Like, you don't want him anywhere near that final three.
Yeah, exactly. Because in that case, like, everyone just enjoys him so much. And also considering, we have to remember, they just watched Jam Jam win. Jam Jam, who, and Carolyn as well, who just exude this idea of authenticity and people voting for Jam Jam just because they really enjoyed him and how likable he was. I think a lot of people are going to have that on their mind, in particular playing in season 46. And so I would say in general, look out for a lot of those popular targets in the mid-merge.
Well, we're just getting started because we've got another survivor to talk about. We're going to talk about Mr. Dave Jelinski, who is definitely an interesting character. And we're going to talk a little bit more about him when we come back right after this.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, second survivor here that we're going to meet here for Survivor 46. It's Dave, a.k.a. Jelinski, Mike.
Yeah, Mr. Jelinski, if you're nasty, and we're getting nasty right now. So we go from the oldest man this season in Banu to not only the youngest man, but the youngest person this season. Okay. 20 years younger than Banu. Jelinski representing the youngsters this time, the 21-year-olds.
Okay. And he is a pretty electric character. Looking forward to you hearing from him in this interview. Mike, what do you want to set up about Jelinski?
So Jelinski, once again, 21 years old, from Las Vegas, Nevada. And if you said, what's the most stereotypical occupation to have while residing in Las Vegas, I think slot machine sales would probably be like in the top five, which is what Jelinski is.
Yeah, I don't know if I would get as, you know, down in the detail is slot machine salesman. I guess I never thought about how these slot machines get into the casinos.
Someone's got to buy them.
Yeah. So, yeah, but interesting. Slot machine salesman, it seems like he repairs them.
Yeah, it seems like he is responsible for the maintenance, but also simultaneous sales of them. He was less so about the sales aspect, and I think more so with the interpersonal skills from very other parts of his life. Despite living so young, it feels like he's lived like three different lives considering the upbringing he's had.
Yeah,
we'll get into it. I will also say, whether you're watching the video of the interview or you're just listening, I want you to picture what you think a 21-year-old person sounds like. That is not Dave Jelinski. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got the Will Wall, the young person, old voice thing going.
Yeah. If Will's the wall, then Jelinski's the roof, considering he's both tall and has this basso profundo voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, Mike, anything else, or should we throw it to you and Jelinski?
Yeah, Jelinski's got a lot to say. I'm excited for people to hear this one.
Okay, and then we'll come back on the other side and talk about what we think.
So for audio's sake, let me just get quick slate, name, age, occupation.
My name is David Jelinski. Mm-hmm. I'm 21 years old, and I'm a slot machine part sales specialist.
So listen, I looked at the place, I looked at the career, I looked at the age, and I'm like, all right, is Sammy going to come walk in and back through here? Was he an inspiration to apply? You know, what was your reaction when you saw him play?
He was definitely not an inspiration because I was applying as soon as I was 18.
Really?
Before I even saw Sammy. Yeah, I am a huge Survivor fan.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of... Sorry, what was the question?
No, just in terms of that's totally fine. I mean, let's talk about your history with the show. How long have you been watching for?
So I started watching in quarantine, but every single season I have seen at least 3 times.
Damn. Wow, that's a hell of a catch up. Was it just like a lot of time on your hands, or was there a particular moment that just hooked you from the beginning?
So much time on my hands, first of all. I was like, well, I'm a huge Big Brother fan.
Okay.
And I have watched every single season of Big Brother as I was growing up.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I never watched Survivor. So mm-hmm. as soon as I found Survivor, I was watching Big Brother. They're like, hey, you should watch Survivor. You know how Paramount Plus recommends all that stuff.
Of course.
And I just got hooked. I was like, the gameplay in this show is 10,000 times more in depth,
mm-hmm.
so much more complicated, so much more complex, and I live for that. Yeah. I couldn't believe that I was stuck on Big Brother for so many years.
You're just like, wait, you don't have to wear wacky costumes and get zinged by Zingbot to be on CBS reality TV?
Right, right, right.
So then why are you here? How did that translate from recent love-sick viewer of Survivor to like actually wanting to play yourself?
Yeah, so my entire life, I have been the guy to talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I have been the person to compensate for other people's not being there. So my parents were both addicts, and I had to basically parent my parents. It was rough. Wow. Yeah, there were a lot of questions I had that were unanswered, and I had to figure everything out for myself. So when I saw Survivor, it kind of just felt natural to me, you know, being out there on your own, especially socially. Like in school, I was on my own, and my family, I was on. I wouldn't say I was on my own entirely, but I did feel alone at some points.
What was that like? I cannot even imagine. I mean, at what age did you feel like you really started to have to kind of parent yourself?
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that because there was an age where I realized, like, okay, I'm going to have to be the person to look out for myself. And I'd say that was probably when I was about 4 years old.
I mean, I have a son who's four, and, like, I cannot. Yeah. I cannot imagine. I mean, good on you, man. Is that, and how are your parents doing?
They are both still addicts.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Well, it's crazy because, like, that's something I appreciate about Carolyn, because she normalized addiction. And that my entire life I've been like, my parents are great people.
Yeah.
They just have their struggles, you know, like they use pretty much daily, and they're still incredible people. There's some times where it's hard. There's definitely some times where it's hard, and you got to really, like, get over that.
Yeah.
But most of the time, they're incredible people. My mom is full of energy. She's been taking me to concerts since I was 5 years old. We'd be on the floor to, like, Motley Crue, Van Halen.
Have you always been in Vegas?
Yeah. Okay. Born and raised in Vegas. So I've been around the casino industry my entire life.
So now how does that segue into, of course, your current occupation? Because I also know you ended up, you know, did you go to college and then you dropped out? Because I know it said that you dropped out and then to pursue your current vocation.
Yeah. So after high school, I was lost. Like, I threw myself into school and life to be away from home. So I was the varsity basketball captain for 4 years.
You got the hype for it.
Yeah. I was varsity quiz captain for 2 years while being on the team for all 4 years. And just my pursuit of everything. I love doing everything this life has to offer.
Mm.
So gaming, I was kind of into my entire life just for being around it.
Mm-hmm.
But after high school, I went to Berkeley City College in hopes to transfer to UC Berkeley because I didn't even apply to a school. I was so lost. And I did that for a little bit and I ended up dropping out because I felt so detached. You know, I wasn't on campus. I wasn't making any friends. And a person like me, it's hard to not make friends.
Uh-huh.
So I ended up dropping out, and I found what I do now is sell slot machine parts through my mom, actually. Her and my boss were mutual friends, so she got me the gig. And I'm also still pursuing 2 degrees, actually, now.
Wow.
I'm at UNLV, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, pursuing gaming management and international business.
So games are your thing, whether it is providing parts for them, playing them. I know you said you're interested in, like, card games as well.
Yes.
So is that just sense of, like, competition, reading others, trying to game the luck? Is that just part of your lifeblood at this point?
10,000%. It's funny you say that because growing up, I kind of resented gambling. I was like, I don't want to be like my dad. You know, my dad was a bookie. So he was arrested in 2006. The FBI busted our door down. I arrested my dad, punched my mom in the face.
Why did they do that?
Asserting power. It was crazy.
My God.
Like, that was the moment where I realized, like, okay, if I want something, I got to go get it for myself. You know, I don't ever want to feel like the kid being coddled by my mom hiding from an FBI agent.
Yeah.
So my dad was a bookie. He book kept, and he did his time. He's out and about. Still did bookmaking after he got out for a little while, and now he's in Florida, so.
Well, let's talk about taking the ultimate gamble with Survivor. So I know you're a recent convert, but give me one winner, one non-winner you relate to the most.
Okay. One non-winner I relate to the most would probably be Carolyn, just in the sense of my mom. I love that she kind of brought an awareness about addiction.
Totally agree. It's an incredible story.
That was incredible. As far as the game goes, I'd say I'm similar to Rick Devins.
Okay.
Just very personable, funny, charismatic. He never gave up.
Mm-hmm.
Everything Survivor had to throw at him, he used it to his advantage. He was always out finding idols, planting fakes. Mm-hmm. That dude is awesome. And a winner I'd relate to is probably Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
Just our humor. We have very similar personalities.
And yeah, you have his like length of hair, yeah. Of like heroes versus villains. Like you don't have the full
right
down do going on. But
I know. One day we'll get there.
By the end of 26 days, it may happen.
Right. Well, after I win 46, I'm gonna come back for 48 and win that one too, and we'll have the hair.
Exactly. What's your favorite moment in Survivor history?
In season 27.
Mm-hmm.
Being a Big Brother fan, I loved watching Hayden.
Of course.
You know, it was, and I knew, like, coming into the game, he was going to be a threat. He's just a likable dude. Who doesn't like Hayden? And with a game like Big Brother, it can be argued that it's a lot easier. Personally, I think it is.
You think so?
10,000%. I mean, you're out here in the elements, and there's so much psychology behind this game. Yeah. There's so many layers of complexity.
Just don't tell that to Taryn.
I won't. I will not. Hayden, what? Yeah, does he think Big Brother is harder than Survivor?
I think, you know, the complexity of the idea that at any point in time someone can take power in Big Brother mm-hmm. can arguably make it more difficult. To your point, I think the natural elements of deprivation are underrated from a viewer perspective, as I'm sure you're about to experience. Of like, I can't imagine making life or death decisions while malnourished and exhausted, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, and totally, 100%. I do, and the length of time, Big Brother being away from your loved ones, totally. But to answer the question, Hayden's rock draw.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my God. That was insane, and I loved it. And Hayden totally would have won the game if someone like Jervis went home or someone, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
Hayden was spectacular, and he was kind of robbed. I think him and Tyson played the best games that season, and Hayden or Tyson was the winner of 27, and Tyson did good.
What is your greatest superpower in the game? Is it to ruffle feathers or rustle them like Hayden?
Well, yeah. You know, I think my greatest superpower within this game is going to be how adaptive I am.
Mm-hmm.
I don't say no to anything. Everything Survivor has to throw at me, I'm going to use it. And I'm like a wolf in sheep's clothing. You know, people aren't going to expect that from me. They're going to be looking at me like, this dude looks like Fabio. Fabio, you know, he kind of wants to go surf. And I'm very personable. I'm someone who uses everything to my advantage. And not to mention that I can make fire with my mind. So.
Okay, wait, what?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's not hope this table catches on fire.
That was just an example. Out on the beach, that's going to happen.
Wow. Okay. Well, now we have the true pyrokinetic first contestant on Survivor. Probably double member of Survivor and the X-Men at this point.
Yeah, totally.
So then on the other hand, let's keep going with that superhero analogy. What is your biggest kryptonite, you would say, coming into this game?
My biggest kryptonite coming into this game is probably my arrogance.
Mmm.
I'll say I'm a Survivor super fan.
Right.
I've seen every season at least 3 times, without a doubt. I have a Survivor slot machine in my room.
Now, did you, like, hand-build this? Because I know that there was one that had, like, Rupert and Jerry from
back
in the day.
That's the one I have.
That's the one you have.
Yeah, we need to make a new one, put my face on it. Maybe somebody else that's cool, Jam Jam, you know, maybe some of the winners. Jam Jam, Tommy, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when we receive the game, every game, as long as it has its chip, it can be revived. So I did build that game. I had to fix the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
I fixed the button panel, fixed the CPU. Yeah, it's like my baby. And the fact that it was Survivor made it 10,000 times better. But my arrogance, being a super fan, I think the fact that I'm so aware of how arrogant I could be, like, there's no doubt in my mind I'm going to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my mind is at.
Right.
So the fact that I realize that kind of tones it down.
Well, to that point, how do you think people are going to perceive you, either from, like, a first impressions perspective or even getting to know you more?
I think they're going to look at me as a really great guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm very personable. I love getting to know people.
Mm-hmm.
My entire life, I've been someone to accept everybody, and I thrive on differences. So, especially in a game like Survivor, everybody is so different, comes from a unique background.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to use that to my strengths and find who I want to work with as an ally, find their greatnesses, and exploit them.
Well, to that point, let's talk about the other people out here. What qualities are you looking for in that alliance partner, in that ride or die?
I want someone who is unbelievably nice to a fault.
Okay.
Me, I recognize...
You're looking for Mr. Rogers out here.
I'm looking for Mr. Rogers. And, you know, I've seen a few people like that. There's people opening the doors for other people at Ponderosa. On our way from LA to Fiji, someone was letting random strangers cut through. I'm like, dude, I'm trying to get to Fiji. Like, I don't know what you're doing, but I want to play Survivor.
Wow, this might be the first person who gets voted out due to letting someone off the plane before them.
No, but seriously, though, like, and that kind of speaks to who people are, you know?
Yeah.
If you're doing that for strangers, 100% that's how you're going to treat people in the game. And
yeah.
I want someone that I could lie to about 3 votes and they'll still work with me.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be my number one.
So now to that point, we have seen, especially recently, like your Jesse and Cody's, even Carolyn and Jam Jam to a certain extent, like, do you have that capacity when it comes down to that end game to be like, I can't sit next to you? Or do you think that's going to be easier said than done?
100%. You know, one of my greatest attributes is probably how perceptive I am.
Uh-huh.
So I'll be able to read the jury very easily, and especially within the game, because I'm going to be inside of the big moves. I'm going to know who's next to me and who I'm not next to when they're making the big moves.
Mm.
So with that being said, sorry, I'm losing my train of thought
please.
Here. Remind me of the question one more time.
Yeah, I mean, would you cut your ally at the end of the game? How difficult would that be a decision for you?
Talking to Dr. Liza and Jeff Probst, they said it's going to be hard for you to win this game. Jeff said it's going to be hard because I am such a nice, empathetic person, and I see the best in people.
Okay, so you're like 1 degree above the Spencer Bledsoe. You have a 0% chance of winning this game, but it's not far from it sounds like.
No, it's not. And I was happy he said that because I want to prove myself
yeah.
like to everybody. I want to prove myself to Jeff. I want to prove myself to myself and all the viewers watching, everybody watching RHAP.
Yeah.
Ding. But, you know, it's the fact that, okay, so Liza during my psych interview said, I attach to people very quickly.
Mm.
In my real life, that's very true. Like, Mike, I consider us best friends right now.
Listen, let's get the matching bracelets after Fiji. Let's do it.
Yes,
I'm
let's
ready to
do
commit.
It. Yeah, so we're best friends.
Yes.
And the fact that I recognize how quickly I attach to people. It's all about recognition and knowing your faults. And that is a fault of mine. And the fact that I recognize that, I will gladly cut my number one ally off.
Yeah.
I will totally Jesse my Cody. I know I'm going to do that, in fact.
Speaking of Jeff, I got to talk about the last name.
Yeah.
Thing. Is this something you're typically called in your real life, or are you trying to manifest like, Jeff, I want you to, all the, you know, that's what Cochran did. All the best legends are called by the last name. We're already manifesting this.
Right. I mean, through my audition process, he called me David. I said, dude, I'm Jelinski. In my real life, I mean, there aren't many Jelinskis. I mean, I have a brother, Lucas Jelinski.
Yeah.
I have a dad, Jeff Jelinski. My dad's name is Jeff. So, oddly enough, and I have some cousins, but we're the Jelinski circle. There's no other Jelinskis. So, in my real life, people do tend to call me Jelinski. It's either DJ, which are great initials, David, or Jelinski. And I choose Jelinski because, I mean, there was a season named after me.
Yeah.
David versus Goliath. I don't need that. I don't need David Voce. I don't need... No offense to Voce, but the show has had 100 Davids.
Right.
David Wright. There's never been a David Jelinski.
Yeah, 100%. So let's talk about, you talk about your own perceptions. You were talking about, you know, the people that might be a bit too nice out there. You've been obviously making eyes with people, I'm assuming, for the past few days. Give me, you know, some descriptions of people that you are already looking at as like, if we hit the beach on day one, best case scenario.
Best case scenario. Okay. There is an Indian guy who has a short ponytail up top. This guy has been reading books about Gandhi.
Interesting.
So I know he's very peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's out here to... I'm not going to say people aren't out here to win the title of Soul Survivor, but he's out here for himself. He's Gandhi. He's out here for the journey. If he's out on my beach, on my tribe, he is malleable. He is someone that I could easily work with. And somebody else, there's this jacked football player. I know he plays football because I was watching him at the airport on his backpack. He's at Ole Miss football. So he's strong, first of all. And like, I'm super tall, but...
Yeah.
Look at me, like, we're the same, Mike. We're scrawny.
How dare you?
we're not lifting blocks, man. So if I have someone who's like James from Micronesia, someone who's keeping the tribe strong, if I find a number one ally, I'm going to stick with them. I would love for him to be on my tribe.
Yeah, now let's talk about the other side of things. Who are you getting some not-so-good vibes from right now?
Not so good vibes is the people that remind me of myself the most.
Interesting.
Because I know I'm the biggest threat out here. I promise you. Everybody watching the podcast, RHAP, comment down below right now your winner pick, because if it's not Jelinski, we're going to block it. Jelinski, we got our bots in the chat. I am the person winning this game. I promise you that. So the people who remind me of myself, that person being the Arab guy with the thick beard, I know his initials are, can I say initials on
you
here?
You can say initials.
SD.
Mm-hmm.
SD is a threat. he's someone that we will not be able to get out right away. Mm. He's going to be too powerful. He's too smart, too personable.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be someone who goes out later on in the merge.
Interesting. Yeah, because I was going to say, you know, meat shield strategies have become incredibly important in the new era. Yeah. How much are you trying to balance because you know of your own stature? Like, let me try to surround myself with that versus how can I get to a point where I'm not outnumbered by them and then it's impossible to stand at the end alone?
Right, yeah. This game is all about balance. And yeah, you gotta know who the threats are. So, honestly, maybe one meat shield ahead of me. When yeah, it's down to 7, that's when I really need to start taking people out because it's going to be a final 3. We're mm-hmm, sure it's going to be a final 3. It's yeah, safe to assume that given Survivor for the past 30 seasons or 20 seasons, excuse yeah, me. But with that being said, you got to know when to take these people out. So I'm going to have probably one.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the biggest threat. I'll figure out how to manage it. It's easier said than done,
right?
Obviously. I know this is a very hard and complex game, but maybe one, maybe two.
Speaking of balance, you danced professional ballroom for
yes,
a little while. You got to give me this story.
Yeah, so growing up, I was really into the arts.
Mm-hmm.
Musical theater, singing and dancing. That was my jam.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was 13, I grew to 6 feet and my voice dropped about 50 octaves. I mean, I used to be able to do the splits. I mean, Logan Paul could do the splits and he's about as big as me, but...
So you're not going to do, like, if you win individual immunity, the Reed Kelly, go into the splits afterwards?
No, I will not. But I'll probably moonwalk. I'll be the first person to moonwalk on the beach.
Okay. Yeah, that might be tough to do in the sand.
That's why I'm going to do it.
That's a perfect representation of, like, it doesn't matter if it's a challenge. I'm going to succeed at it.
100%. Even if I fail, that is a success.
The other thing I saw you wrote in your bio about literature achievements. Talk to me about this, because, I mean, true to your point, I would not have expected that from you.
Yeah. So literature is kind of a lost art. I mean, nobody reads anymore. Mm-hmm. I've been watching everybody and what they've been reading. There's one girl, ST, she's reading a Brené Brown book. So mm-hmm, if she is on my tribe, I'll be able to talk to her about that. But Quiz Bowl, I didn't necessarily read a lot until I was in Quiz Bowl, Varsity Quiz, mm-hmm, and my specialty was literature. We all had our specialty subjects, geography, history, and I was literature. So classic novels, I'm able to spew at you, like, who wrote what it's about, blah, blah, blah. Specifically, I love poems.
Mm.
So, yeah, and I was named at my graduation literature specialist Literature Student of the Year. And
interesting.
They wrote a great description about me.
I mean, listen, feel free to shy away at the prospect. Can I put you on the spot? Can I ask you to write a poem about how you're feeling right now? It could be a haiku. It could be short. I'm not asking for an epic.
A poem. Okay, yeah, let's do it. Contestants estranged. One in particular. David Jelinski, Survivor 46, winner.
There we go. Snaps all around. I'm not sure if the mic picks it up. I'm going to throw a few scenarios past
you. Let's do it.
See how you do with it. First, what would you say is your hottest Survivor take? Because you are a newcomer to the show by comparison. I'm sure that, like, watching it in a bit of a bubble, like, yeah, you certainly walk out with some opinions that you look around and you're like, oh, I didn't realize that this was controversial at all.
Right. Well, off the top of my head, it might not be as hot, but Dominic should have won Ghost Island.
Interesting.
Dominic was... you got to love the flashy game, but
yeah,
that kind of speaks to why Wendell won, you know? He was a part of Dominic's moves, more or less, but he was more of a people person, and
yeah,
people gravitate towards that the most. If the jury did not win themselves, they want to vote for someone that they... If I couldn't win, I'd want them to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that. Another Survivor hot take would be... I don't know. That's all I got right now.
No, of course. So let's say first few days on the beach, a boat pulls up. You probably know what's happening. Guys pulls out a scroll. One person from your tribe must volunteer to go on a journey. Do you already have a strategy prepared? Are you going? Are you trying to, like, throw someone under the bus by sending them there? What's your tactic behind that?
It'll have to depend on who's on my tribe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to check it out, but I'm a Survivor super fan.
Yeah.
I want to be the person going, you know. I forget who did it, but someone, they were drawing sticks, and one of them had the longer and shorter stick.
Yep.
And she drew the longer one.
Yeah.
Do you remember who that
is? Lauren did it last season with a rock draw.
She rigged the
rock draw to make sure that she was going.
Lauren rigged the rock draw, and that's something I would do. I want to be the person experiencing all advantages. I don't want to take anything for granted because, you know, I might get voted out before the boat comes again.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have gone than not go at all.
So then do you already have a strategy of how you would handle the aftermath for that? You already talk about coming in as the biggest threat, both from a stature perspective and, like, a resume perspective. that's got to make things even bigger on you if they're like, okay, well, now Jelinski probably has an idol. Let's get rid of him here.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. You know, nowadays, in the new era of Survivor, more or less everybody is a super fan.
Yeah.
I promise you that I am the biggest fan out here.
Mm-hmm.
But people are still super fans, and they know you're going to come back and try to lie. If I just give everything as true as possible and still have my number one allies, I feel like I'm going to be set.
All right, last question. You know how I end these things. If you could pick a celebrity or a fictional character to come out as your loved one, who would it be and why?
I've thought about this a lot. In fact, I know you guys go through Instagrams to see when this was virtual, to see who we're following. I would probably choose LeBron.
LeBron, okay. Do you think he's the GOAT, in your opinion?
100%.
Him over Jordan?
Yes, him over Jordan.
Any reason why?
I have a lot of reasons why.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan left the game.
Yeah.
Jordan stopped playing basketball. If you love basketball, you're not going to stop. Like, that's like me. If I pull a Ben from Winners at War, just vote me out, Sarah. You can vote me out. Put it a part of your move. I'm not going out like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going out like Ben. I'm not going out like Jordan. I'm staying with it, LeBron. Even almost at 40 years old, he's doing great things, better than everybody else in the league. LeBron is awesome.
Well, I know Jordan's listening to this right now and saying it. I took that personally.
No, seriously. No, I was saying, I'm not going to take anything in this game personally.
Okay, big call, big call.
Unless my name is written down. I took that personally.
Interesting. All right, so let's say, like, even if it's for, like, a just-in-case vote split, your name gets written down a couple times. Are you, like, going full Rupert? Who voted for me? Like, what's the fallback when you get back to camp?
I am, you know, and Russell is hilarious. Russell is a great game player from my perspective. He's an asshole, which is why he did not win. But, you know, I did love Russell's game. I mean, he found four immunity idols without clues. That was unheard of before him. And that was actually the first season I watched. He was so polarizing. I was like, how did he not win?
Interesting.
Natalie won. Like, that is absurd. Yeah. No offense to Natalie. But to answer your question.
She's watching this alongside Michael Jordan. You know, they're just having their local watch parties to listen to all the preseason interviews for Survivor 46.
You never know. You never know. And as Russell said, you're such a dumbass, Rupert. And I mean, I don't think I'm a dumbass, but I will be going Rupert balls to the wall. I don't want to be malleable to people.
Yeah.
You know, if you write my name down, I'm out here to play a perfect game.
I mean, it's an interesting balance, right? Because I think what we've seen from a lot of people, and this is very Big Brother, the pawn star, the person who gets nominated early on, it's a lot of HOHs are like, well, I can just keep nominating them because they've already drawn first blood. Do you feel like that carries over to Survivor where it's like, well, my name's written down, it makes it just as easy for them to write my name down the second time if I don't take it the wrong way?
I do, yeah. I mean, we saw it with Jam Jam. Jam had his name written down a lot early on. Winners like Adam, we saw his name written down or at least thrown out a lot.
Right.
So in this game, you have to be careful. And with that being said, I'm going to take it personally, but that could be by working with them. You know, I could use them as an ally because they would have more to prove to me that, hey, like, I know I wrote your name down, but let's work a little bit. Let me prove it to you. Yeah, let's do that.
All right, man. How you feeling right now? Give me like some final temperature checks at the moment now that, you know, assumingly we are days away from you starting this. And for you, only 26 days away from claiming that $1 million check.
Right. I mean, Mike, I'm out here to win a Survivor jackpot. You know, jackpot.
Ding, 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 ding. Line up all the pictures, hopefully all of you.
Yeah, hopefully all of me. I'm just ready to go. I'm having so many thoughts. I'm moving at 1,000 miles an hour in my head. And honestly, physically, I'm going to be running through the jungle like Tony. I'm ready to go. Let's do this thing.
All right, well, I'm going to send you running through the jungle again. This was an absolute delight, man.
Mike, this is awesome.
So good to meet you.
Great to meet you, too, and I'm excited to be on the podcast at later dates.
Of course,
Survivor Trivia, I want to be a part of it.
Okay, shout out to, and I know Jordan Kalish is definitely listening. That Jordan may be listening. Future Twitch contestant. Well, thank you so much, man. I am all set. Thank you so much again. I'll let you get back to everything else you have going on as the wait continues.
The wait continues.
All right. Awesome meeting you, man. Have a great one.
Thank you, Mike. You too.
All right, Mike. There's Jelinski.
Jelinski. There's a lot to get into, Rob.
I'm there.
I'm super intrigued to hear your thoughts on this guy.
Yeah, I think he's just a very interesting person, especially for somebody so young. There seems like there's a lot of depth there, and to me, I feel like that I always try to like look at like, okay, this person's like this person meets this person, and he mentioned Sammy.
Oh, Shipper.
Yeah, so I feel like that he's sort of like Sammy crossed with Drew from last season.
Yeah, I think he certainly shares some characteristics with Drew. The height, I think the deepness of the voice. We talked a bit at the end there about like his literary achievements. Yeah. I think he has like certainly a scholarly pursuit, which you wouldn't expect from someone who had to drop out of college initially, but is now pursuing a couple of degrees. And I think that kind of has helped Jelinski's worldliness as well. I have always had some misgivings about casting people in like the 16 to 21 range on Survivor because pretty much all they know is college at that point. They know either high school or college. There's not a lot of life experience. It's a little bit like throwing them into the pool and probably having them struggle just because they're playing up against people that have experienced so much more than them. They're closed off from the world in that perspective. Jelinski had his eyes open to the world in a very stark way early on. And he is someone, again, who dropped out of college due to, I just think, trying to figure out where he was in life. And I think as a result has kind of had to figure things out for a few years now that he has gotten back on his feet and is now pursuing some degrees here. And what was it? Gaming management and international relations?
Mm-hmm.
Which is basically Survivor, right?
He certainly is. He's somebody who has had a lot of chaos in his life. And I think he's somebody who I don't think is going to be thrown by the new era of the game. And maybe somebody who kind of thrives in chaos and maybe might be an agent of chaos to some degree. And tell me if you think that you agree with this, but I kind of get from him as a game player only, kind of like a Luke Tokyo a little bit from Australian Survivor.
Yeah, he's got a little of that King of the Jungle look to him as well. I believe his hair was pulled back in my interview with him. But like once he lets that mane fly, I know he said it's not completely Tyson full length, but like it's still pretty, pretty fun there. Yeah, I could definitely see there's a churlish aspect to Jelinski, despite the fact that he sounds, I think just with the tone of his voice, like sometimes a little dry. There really is that sense from him, perhaps to his chagrin, as I want to talk about in a little bit, of like, I'm a fan. I'm here to play Survivor. I'm willing to do a lot of fun things along the way. And so I do think that Jelinski is someone who is going to grab at every single opportunity. And that might involve leading someone to a Beware advantage. It might involve putting an idle clue in someone's bag, a la Pete Yurkowski. It might involve setting up a spy shack, though I think that would work least so for him, just considering his height. He'd probably be better like disguising himself as a tree.
Yeah, well, Jake was a tree and then he gave that up. He wasn't gonna be a tree anymore. It's interesting also that I feel like that there's like two sides of his personality where that he talked about.
There's Dave and there's Jelinski.
There's Dave and there's Jelinski. But he talked about his arrogance, which I think that definitely you do get that side of him that I'm not necessarily saying in a bad way, but you definitely can like get the sense like that it's there. But also the fact that he cited both Jeff Probst and the great Dr. Liza, and they both talked about, you know, his empathy and how quickly he connects with other people. And like, I do feel like that there is, those are almost kind of like opposite traits.
Yeah, I was surprised by that. Not only happily surprised by the fact that apparently I found my new best friend out in Fiji, according to Mr. Jelinski, but this idea that, again, he talks so, I wouldn't say game bot, bottingly, if that's even a word, but I think like the way he talked about things so methodically during the previous questions in our interview, even to your point, he mentions how his kryptonite is that he has arrogance, that he's someone who is a bit of a latecomer to the show. Perhaps again, speaking to that energy level, came in from Big Brother, which usually it's the opposite, but someone who has watched every season of Survivor 3 times up to this point. He knows, again, has a bit of that cocksure young energy, but knows, okay, but I have to manage it. I have to keep that in mind. But then he says, as I mentioned in the interview, like a degree removed from Banu's favorite player, Spencer, oh, Dr. Liza and Jeff both told me you're going to have a very hard time winning this game, which is not, I think, meant to say, oh, you're going to be bad at it. They were more so appealing to the fact that, sort of like actually what we were just talking about with Banu, you make really tight connections with people, and that's going to be very tough to sever. And I agree with you. It's a little disparate to kind of like settle in our own brains, let alone his, of this is someone who is such an avowed fan of the game, albeit recently, and loves social strategy, as is clear with his obsession with Big Brother. At the same time, you look to his background, again, I'll keep saying like Banu, someone who grew up pretty alone and had to kind of rely on like found family in a manner of speaking and making these close bonds organically with people. I think it's easier said than done for him to be able to say like, all right, you're my best friend right now. We promised we'd be in each other's weddings in the future, but for right now, you got to go.
All the story about his upbringing was just captivating, gripping, incredible ordeal that he went through. And the stuff that he said about talking about Carolyn and addiction, I thought that that was all really, really great stuff. I think he's going to be a very fascinating person to have in this season.
I completely agree. I mean, his story was just unbelievable. Again, him saying that he felt like 4 years old was the first time he realized like, yeah, I kind of have to fend for myself and parent my parents. Unimaginable to me. And I think, again, that gives you a sense of maturity that people like twice his age might not have. And also the story about like the SWAT team charging into his house and like punching his mom in the face is just absolutely wild. But I agree. I like what you said about Carolyn, where I think this idea that he exuded in the interview of like people can think about addiction and not automatically go to like huddled over in an alley with a pipe, you know, or a joint, that there are plenty of addicts out there who struggle through what they struggle through, but like are able to live quote unquote normal day to day lives. And I thought it was really interesting that he expressed like, yeah, my parents and I have gone through it and they're both still addicts. They're great people. They've had their struggles. You know, they use pretty much daily, but they're still doing what they need to get through in the world. It's a very, I think, unique perspective on addiction that I'm hopeful that they espouse in the show, because we talked about this with Carolyn, like how important of a message that it is. So as you know, well, I would imagine I'm of a couple minds about Jelinski. I think Jelinski in one direction could very easily overplay his hand early on. I think there's a good chance he could be like, because he was the one right when I asked that boat question who says, nope, I'm getting on. I'll rig the rock draw. I'm a super fan. Almost like that Brandon Donlan aspect of like, all right, well, I have to take every opportunity that's given to me, so I'm going to go on this. And I could see a world where maybe people start eyeballing him of saying, this guy's doing way too much.
Yeah.
He's not really trustworthy right now. Yes, he could be the kid of the tribe, but that only goes so far. But if he's able to keep his composure, be able to ingratiate himself well, you know, I think that he did call himself a bit scrawny, but I think he does have at least that height and that like physical presence that could assist them in challenges as well. Certainly has some intelligence on him that might help in puzzles. If he's able to do what he claims he can do and like socially ingratiate himself and then maybe pursue some of those bigger strategic maneuvers, I could see him doing well in this game. Now, look, I am remiss to trust the opinions of Dr. Liza and Jeff Probst that perhaps he would have a lot of difficulty cutting people towards the end of the game, despite how much he wants to play. So I don't know if this is another person that I see necessarily doing the stuff that's necessary to win, but I think it really is sort of like the alpha and omega for Jelinski.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine for a while, but I do think, like, similarly to Sammy from Survivor 43, and when you and I did the cast preview back then, I was actually pretty down on Sammy. I thought that, okay, he's 21, okay, the kids, they think it's easier than it actually is going to be. You know, I don't know if he's going to necessarily be deferential, and he was, like, beloved by his cast. So I do think that Jelinski, I think he's going to fit in. I think he's going to have no problem getting along with people, but I almost feel like a similar like end trajectory is there for Jelinski, where Sammy came in seventh. And I feel like that, much like Caleb last season, you know, he says that he's going to try to make people feel like, oh, he's just a surfer guy. He's too deep. You know what? You can't.
Yeah, I did not get any. I didn't get any Fabio energy from him. I'm sorry, Chalitzky. Yeah.
You're not getting that from him. So he does seem like, you know, a very intelligent guy. I'm sure he's going to be no slouch in the challenges. He's tall. I suspect he's going to be playing a big game. And so unless he just has everybody snowed, I just feel like final nine, final eight, I feel like that people say, okay, we can't let this guy get any further. One last thing. I really do believe in the new era, you need like some way to hide, like something that is going to hide you in some way. You can't just be like, the lesson from Caleb is like, you gotta have some imperfection.
Yeah. And I think the interesting thing is that imperfection for Jelinski on paper could be his age. Again, I think a 21-year-old could present themselves, and this happened with Carson a bit, is like, well, I'm just the young kid. You all are teaching me. I'm not dangerous in this game. I'm still in college at this point. I'm still learning about the world in so many ways. Teach me. But I think just the way Jelinski composes himself kind of sabotages that to me.
Yeah.
Like the vibe, again, I get from him is that he very much is not his age. And I think that works beautifully for him in just terms of being more wise to the world than perhaps another 21-year-old you might run into. It won't necessarily help here. What I also find interesting is that he does tell me, like, if he goes on the journey that he wants to, he's going to come back and he's going to be honest. I can absolutely see a situation where, like, he comes back, he opens up about what happened, and the tribe's like, I don't trust that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Caleb's a really good comparison, and just, like, I don't think he has that necessarily. I don't want to use the term smarminess to him, because I think Caleb didn't necessarily have that, but certainly that sort of veneer of, like, okay, you're selling me something. I don't think Jelinski has that, but I just think the way he kind of comes across has this sort of facade to it of like, okay, but I'm probably hiding something as well. And that's going to be tough even when he's trying to be the most honest he can to somebody.
Okay, Mike, both Jelinski and Banu referenced the bearded guy. You said something about maybe there's some, not everybody that they talk about is going to be there. Is bearded guy in this cast?
Bearded guy is not in this
cast. How do we lose beard guy?
Oh, well, Rob, if you think bearded guy has been referenced oft amount of times, just you wait. This guy was the talk of the town amongst this cast at Ponderosa. This guy made a big, big impression. So
startthechange.org, beard guy for Survivor 47. Coach Beard, get him back.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah, maybe a better ending for Coach Beard from a popularity perspective than the way things ended for that, the show he was a part of in general. I will also, though, mention from those questions, I mean, we're talking about these two guys. And yes, Jelinski does mention he was not getting good vibes from Mr. Thick Beard, but he was getting good vibes from another guy, in particular, the one with the ponytail, who seemed like he was just out there for the spiritual adventure of it all. I think these two are going to be thick as thieves, Rob. I think these two have essentially the same weakness. I don't know if Dr. Liza and Jeff Probst told Banu, like, yeah, you're going to have a tough time winning this game because of your empathy, but it seems like both these guys have expressed either internally or externally that they are really sympathetic and empathetic in nature. I think these two guys have a similar build to them. I think they have a similar sort of like energetic grab life by the horns take on this game. So I would not be surprised, Rob, if we see like a Banu and Jelinski link up ASAP.
The new Luke and Jericho?
I mean, I think one of them would have to walk on their knees to be Jericho, but sure, get the cookies.
It's not one for one, Mike.
I mean, it's interesting because I think Jelinski, I don't know, he sort of has this laid back energy to him. I don't know if he's going to be like running through the jungle a la Luke causing chaos to happen. I think maybe he'd be the one to do it behind the scenes, but I could definitely see these guys getting along really well. And I don't know, maybe unfortunately they might feed into each other's worst habits. Like they'll be the ones mulling over the beach of like, do we cut this person? I don't think I can. I know it's best for our games, but I can't do it if you can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Can't wait to see how it's all going to play out. There's Banu. There's Jelinski. Mike, can you tell us who we're going to hear from next?
Yeah, so we're going from two men to two women, the next two people in this group. We are going to be hearing my interviews tomorrow of Jess Chong and Kenzie petty, and the interesting personalities on this tribe will continue.
Okay. All right. Mike, this is great. Can't wait to see what comes up next. Of course, you can watch the video on our YouTube channel at robinswebsite.com/YouTube. But Mike, I know that you have a ton of stuff cooking over at parade.com. So what's up next?
Yeah, you talk about the batches from the very beginning. I've been baking up lots of articles. So I'm putting out, we're talking two castaways at a time in these podcasts. I'm doing the same over at parade.com, putting out two written interviews a day just to like vary it up. We started with one group here, but I started with another group on Parade in written form. If you want written versions of these articles, or if you want to get to know probably the last group of castaways that Rob and I will talk about first, you can check that out at parade.com. I'll be posting two a day for the next 9 days. And you can keep up with everything I'm doing over at A Mike Bloom Type on social media, as well as on my Cameo page.
Okay. All right. And of course, the place for all your Survivor podcast coverage right here. Go to robinswebsite.com/subscribe. Thank you so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.